Good morning. You can turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. You're probably thinking, what about the Gospel of John? Well, I'm just taking a short one-week break from the Gospel of John just to do a special Father's Day sermon in the book of Joshua. So we're in Joshua 24, verse 15. Believe it or not, this is actually my first ever Father's Day sermon. And for the first time in a long time, Ed Catherman isn't preaching on Father's Day. And as you know, Pastor Bob, when he was here, usually had CEF training, and so Ed would always be here. In the last 2 years, I was on vacation or something, and so usually it was Ed. And although it would be good to hear Ed preach once again this year, I'll be bringing the word. So Joshua 24, let's just get some context and read verses 14 and 15. This morning. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what does a courageous father look like? Many people think maybe the courageous father is the guy who fights in a war. Maybe they think it's the father who works as a police officer. Others think that the ones who win the sports games with the team on their shoulders. Here's maybe an ordinary, regular dad's view of being a courageous father. So they take measures to make sure that the family is protected at home from any danger. They work very hard to make sure that their family has enough to pay the bills and even some extra to spend on some fun things. If anything needs fixed, they'll do it, albeit very slowly. And they talk a little bit here and there to their wife and children. That's courage, isn't it? What more could you expect? This normal father thinks that as long as they are doing those things, they are doing their duty and they will consider themselves a courageous father. Many of those examples are great. They're good things. They do take some courage. But our verse this morning brings out something that I didn't say. And that I didn't say about the ordinary dad. You see, the Bible shows us that courage in God's eyes is the godly man who steps up and leads his family to serve the Lord against the tide of ungodliness. And that's what we're going to discover this morning in just one verse in Joshua. And as you know, what I usually do is I keep my main point for the end of the sermon. Well, this morning I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to give you the main point up front and then I'll unpack it. And so the main point for today is this. Courageous, godly fathers have an unwavering commitment to the Lord. Courageous, godly fathers have an unwavering commitment to the Lord. A missionary society wrote to David Livingston and asked, "Have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send other men to join you." And Livingston wrote back, "If you have men who will come, only if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all." Men, what kind of man are you? What kind of father are you? Do you always look for the path of least resistance? Or do you follow God's way? Will you go and only do something if there is a clear, easy path? Like they gave that in that illustration. Or are you willing to roll up your sleeves and go wherever God leads? For those willing to follow the Lord's way, God has a message for you this morning. It won't be easy, but it will always be good. It'll always be right. Right now, I simply ask you to listen. And remain open to what God has to say about courageous, godly fathering. Now, as I work through the passage this morning, I don't want people who aren't fathers to shut their brain off. I don't want you to daydream, because this verse can actually apply to you in many ways. There will be spots that won't apply to you, but if you think about the main idea, it's relevant for all of us. Because if you think about it, all Christians should have an unwavering commitment to the Lord, right? All Christians should. So be listening, because this verse, this passage, this sermon can apply to you as well in some ways. Once again, courageous, godly fathers have an unwavering commitment to the Lord. But why are they committed? Why are they committed? What leads them to be committed? For someone to be committed to anything, there has to be something that leads them to be committed, that causes them, that drives them to be committed. So why are courageous, godly fathers committed to the Lord? Because they love God. It's very simple, right? They love God. And if you look at the overall mindset, the overall choices of Joshua, he loved God. It was his love for God that drove his commitment to God. And the same is true for us. We must love God if we think we're going to be committed to him. Now, of course, to love God, you must know God, right? Do you know God? Do you know his character? Do you know what he is like? Do you know him through belief in Jesus Christ? That's important. The more we know God, the more we love him. We get to know his mighty works. We get to know his person. And as a result, our love should increase then. So let's look at the context of this verse to see how this is worked out in our text. You think about Joshua 24. It shows us why Joshua would love God so much. Verses 1 through 5, Joshua recounts what God has done in Israel's history, beginning when he called Abraham, all the way to the Exodus story. And during that time, he started with Abraham, who we are told worshipped other gods beyond the river Euphrates. And he started to grow people, and he gave his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the people were starting to formulate, and more people were being born into that line. He tells of their humble beginnings. They also went down to Egypt, and they were brought out by God. Not only that, but he moves on to verses 6 through 13 to talk about the time from the Exodus to their possession of the land. And so he pretty much shows Israel that they went from having no home. Remember, they're brought out of Egypt. They go across the river and they have no home. To now, all the way to they have a home in the promised land. They're eating from vineyards and olive orchards that they didn't even plant. The thing is, God had done so much for them. And you see that throughout that whole recounting of their history. Choosing them, delivering them, leading them, blessing them, fighting for them, eventually allowing them to live in the land. God was essentially, through this history lesson, saying to Israel, look at what I have done for you throughout your whole history. Look at how much I love you. And they were to now love him and serve him because he first loved them. Does that remind you of something? For us as believers, we love him because he first loved us. He sent Jesus to die for us, and he has done so much for us in Christ. How can we not love him in return? Christian, remember what God has done for you in Jesus. He took you who was dead in your sins and made you alive. He took you, who a great sinner, and has forgiven you of your sins and made you white as snow. He has given you a whole new life. You were in bondage to sin, yet he broke those chains and gave you freedom from sin to live for him. And so now we love him because we have experienced his great grace and mercy in our lives. Do you love him? If not, be in his word. Keep reading his word, praying for him to help you. You see, love for God is the foundation for unwavering commitment to God. You cherish and you remember what he has done for you, and you love him for it. Because without love for him, no sincere right choice will be made. If your love for God isn't too strong, your commitment to him won't be strong, and your family will struggle spiritually. Because when times get hard, why persevere if you don't really love him? When the pressure is on, why continue? What keeps you on that right foundation is remembering and cherishing what he has done for you and responding in love. Men, this is where an unwavering commitment to the Lord must start. It must start in your heart. You cannot go through the emotions and expect your commitment to last. Your commitment to God will not last on the fuel of guilt. It will not last on the fuel of guilt. We have all been guilted into doing things, but that is not how it works. Commitment to God will not last on that. Let me flip it here. Women, maybe you have been struggling with your husband's lack of commitment to spiritual matters. It cannot be ultimately driven by guilt, but by grace. It cannot. It has to be grace that grips their heart. Pray to him, pray to God that they would be captivated by God's grace. It is a heart change that they need above all. Because anything else will not last. Anything else will bend under the pressure. It will not persevere. You see, love for God will make you courageous and godly. Love for God will lead you to not want to give up. Will lead you to not give up as well. And where does that love come from? Knowing him, grasping what he has done for you in Christ. And so like he has for Israel, he has taken you as a person being without hope in this world and has shed his love and his grace on you. Like Israel, he has fought your enemies for you. That is sin and death on the cross and in the resurrection. Like Israel, he has led you. He has guided you all the way. Look what he has done for you. As Joshua, God was speaking through Joshua and recounting the history of Israel, he's saying, look what I have done for you. Look at how much I love you. And so for you, think about what God has done in your life. Look at how much he loves you. Look what he has done. So, men, how's your personal spiritual life? Are you disciplined in this area? It will affect everything else. This must be the starting point of a godly life. This must be the starting point of being a godly husband, a godly father. So you want to be committed. You want to lead your family well. Then get to know God. Be in his word. Get to know what he has done for you. And your love will eventually grow and grow for him. That's the foundation of an unwavering commitment to the Lord. You cannot expect to be a strong, godly leader without first working on your own walk with the Lord. Focus on this point above all, because really everything else flows out of that. So why are courageous, godly fathers committed to the Lord? Because they love him. So then the next question is this: how do they show their commitment? How do they show their commitment? You know, we all know people who are all talk and no action. You know, but what good is that? Men, I know you all hate it when that person at your job is all talk about their skill, but they can't and don't actually do anything. I know you hate it. So then why does that sort of thing happen in our lives when it comes to our commitment to the Lord? Fathers, you can't just say you are committed to the Lord. You must show it. You must show that commitment in your life. Missionary Lou Nichols once said, "It is so easy to say we are committed to doing whatever the Lord wants us to do. But then we come to the Lord with this long list of our plans, and we ask the Lord to bless our plans." He says, "I once heard George Murray, a missionary to Italy, ask the crowd, 'What is your idea of commitment?' And holding out a blank sheet of paper, he said, 'Is it to sign your name at the bottom of this blank sheet and let God fill it in as he wills?'" That should be our mentality, to do whatever God wants us to do. Not whatever we want to do, whatever he wants us to do. So today, as you listen, will you figuratively sign the bottom of a blank sheet of paper and let God fill it? Are you willing to do whatever he says? It will take some courage, but are you up to the task? So let's see how they show their commitment to God. They lead their family to serve God. They lead their family to serve God. As we already learned, godly fathers love God, but godly fathers who love God, it doesn't just stop there. Godly fathers who love God want their family to love God. This is a great thing about godly husbands and fathers. Their family benefits from their commitment to the Lord. Men, you set the tone for your family. They look up to you. They follow your lead. So where are you leading them? Now, as you think about leading your family, you first must recognize what your role is. If you don't realize what your role is, you will not do it. But the good thing is we don't have to live in the dark, right? For God has told us what our role is. And that means we do not get our role as a father or husband from what the world or culture tells us. The world will try to tell you what your role is. But they have no authority on family life. In fact, look at the world's track record when it comes to the family. When people move away from what God's roles are and how they should function, and they move to the world's way, what happens? Divorces go up, families break apart. Look at the results of what happens when there is no father present in the family. It's not good. Fatherlessness, as well as passive, distant fathers, have caused issues in our country on a massive scale. Would you want to listen to the world who has a track record like that? But yet we listen to the world often on how we should, what our roles are in the family, and that is not right. Instead, let's listen to the one with the only authority over family life, the one who created it. Because the one who created it knows perfectly well how it is supposed to be run and how it's supposed to be effectively run. And his name is God. He tells us throughout his word that men are to be loving leaders in the family, and both of those terms are extremely important. You can be loving but not be a leader, right? And you can be leader but not be loving. And I'm sure all of us have seen both of those extremes. But both terms are needed. Loving leader. So recognize what your role is, but also recognize the importance of your role. If you don't realize the importance of your role, you probably won't be doing it as well. Because if you think your role isn't really needed, it doesn't really make an impact on anyone, then that's going to affect how you will act. But men, realize that your role is God-given, and it also affects the whole family. It's very important. There's a common saying that says something like, as a leader goes, so the people go. And the saying is true, especially when it comes to the home. You see, your children aren't just going to naturally follow the Lord, but we are called to train them up, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You have an important and crucial role in the family. Do not squander it. It will affect your whole family. Recognize your role. See the importance of it. Of course, those things are critical. But there's one more thing. You have to actually carry it out. There's numerous husbands and fathers who know their role. They know the importance of it, but they just don't do it. They could answer all the questions about what a husband or father should be according to the Bible, but they just don't do it. It's one thing to recognize your role. It's another to actually carry it out well. As you look at Joshua 24:15, what does Joshua show us about carrying out his role as a father? So in verse 14, he tells the people, serve and fear the Lord. With sincerity and faithfulness, he calls them to put away the gods that they were serving. And then in verse 15, he calls them to a decision. He says, choose this day whom you will serve. And after he calls them to make this decision, what he does is he states what his decision is. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, you've probably seen this verse hanging on someone's wall. I know I have multiple times. And it's a good thing. It's a great verse of an important statement of commitment. So what does Joshua's decision here show us about courageous, godly fathers? What do? They don't give in to the pressure of the world. They don't give in to the pressure of the world. If you think about Joshua's time, clearly there was idolatry going around. Because he says, put those gods away that you're serving. You see, in that day, there was this temptation to serve multiple gods, to kind of just add God to the list of your gods. But Joshua stands up, he calls this out, and he determines to serve God alone. There was pressure to worship these other gods, but Joshua didn't give in to the pressure. The easy thing is to just go with the flow with everyone else, but we're not called to just go with the flow. Joshua says, but as for me and my household. By saying that, he's saying, I'm not giving in to the pressure. I'm not going the world's way. I'm going God's way, no matter what. Men, there is pressure on you. There's pressure to not stand firm on God's word when it comes to some of the controversial issues. There's pressure to follow the world's values and priorities. There's pressure to live life for yourself and not for God. So how can you get to the point of not giving in to the pressure? Because you're so dedicated to God and His Word. You must have this total devotion to God. Half-hearted devotion won't do it. Because if you're half-heartedly following the Lord, then you're going to give in when the pressure is really bad. Joshua shows us there is no straddling the fence. There is no vacillating between God and other gods. Your love and commitment to God is what makes the right choice very clear. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. Now make the right choice. But not only that, you stand firm on your choice because you love God and you're dedicated to Him. And that's exactly what Joshua is doing in this instance. He knew the right choice, and he stuck with it. And that's going to take some initiative. Joshua took initiative in his family, and also as the leader of Israel, he declared who he and his household was going to serve. And that's what good and loving leaders do. They take initiative. They don't wait to see what other people are going to do when they know the right thing to do. That's key. When they know the right thing to do, they don't wait to see what other people are going to do. They take initiative. And so this means, husbands and fathers, your wife shouldn't have to pressure you to go to church. You should take initiative. Your wife shouldn't have to pressure you to talk to your kids about doing about something that they're doing wrong. She shouldn't have to pressure you to simply invest in your child's walk with the Lord. You should be the one taking initiative in spiritual matters, making it clear the direction of your family. You set an example for your family because you are showing your family what truly matters to you. What are you showing your family? Parents, you are displaying in your everyday life to your kids what you value. What do you value? Joshua showed initiative, and he was a good example they could follow. Courageous, godly fathers make the hard, right choice. You know, leading won't always be easy. Leading wasn't easy for Moses, especially when the people were grumbling all the time, right? Almost trying to kill him. Leading is not always easy. So you need to make the hard, right choice. Joshua stood up here in the middle of Israel, and he made the hard, right choice for his family, even if no other family would do the same thing. Do you notice that in his words? He's pretty much showing them he's going to serve God even if no other family is going to do it. And so, men, this can also mean if your wife or children don't want to serve God, you still lead them that way. I recognize you can't force anyone to believe in God. You can't change their hearts, but that doesn't mean you throw in the towel. You certainly can't force faith, but you can facilitate faith. And what I mean by that is that you can provide opportunities for them to grow. You can assist them in growing, encourage growth. You can create this environment where they are surrounded with God's word regularly. You can't force them to believe, but you can create, you can facilitate faith by creating and encouraging following the Lord. So is that what you do? Do you facilitate faith? Are you giving them opportunities to grow? Are you investing in their lives? Are you surrounding them with God's truth? Joshua made the hard, right choice for his family, and that right choice was what? To serve God. To serve God is to follow him, worship him, do whatever he wants. It is essentially to live for God. Husbands and fathers, you are to lead your family to live for Christ. That is your role. Leading your family to live for Christ. And if you haven't decided to do that now, decide now. Stand firm on your decision. It's going to take some courage, but it's going to be worth it. So decide to live for God, even when everyone else is going the other way. That's what Joshua did. He's saying, I don't care if everyone else goes the opposite way. Me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Determined to say, I will not succumb to the pressure of the majority. I don't care if everyone else is going the other way. I'm going God's way. I could be the only one following the Lord, but I'm going to follow the Lord. I will not abandon God for what's comfortable. I will not abandon God for what other people say. I will not abandon God because people put pressure on me. I will not abandon God for anything. Because God has done so much for me. I love him, and I will live my life for him. And I will not only live my life for him, but I will lead my family to live their lives for him. That is courageous, godly fatherhood. You see, a courageous father isn't just merely the tough guy. A courageous father isn't the guy who works all day long and never sees his family. A courageous father isn't the man who follows the world's values and priorities. But a courageous father, according to the Bible, is the one who serves the Lord. A courageous father spends time with his wife and kids and encourages and challenges them with God's truth. A courageous father leads his family to love God above all. A courageous father steps up, takes initiative, and says, we are going to church, and we are going to get involved. We are going to serve God. And so this means, men, you don't have to have a beard. You don't have to have big muscles. You don't have to have a certain job or anything like that. You need to love God and lead your family to love God. Sounds so simple, right? It's very simple and straightforward. You love God and you lead your family to love God. But it's hard. It's hard. And that's why it's rare to find. There are men who give in to the pressures of the world, but we will not. There are men who do not step up and lead, but we will step up and lead. There are men who sit back and do nothing when it comes to the spiritual lives of their family, but that will not be us. So men like Joshua called the children of Israel, so I call you, choose this day whom you will serve. Don't put it off and say, oh, I'll do that later. I'll do that when the kids are older. I don't feel prepared for that. No, none of us are prepared for fatherhood. None of us are prepared for any of that. And so we ask God for help. We go to Him and say, I need you. I depend on you. I need your help. So will you leave here and remain unchanged, going back to the way that you were leading, or will you choose to live your life for Christ? Our Daily Bread gives the story of William Borden. And in 1904, William Borden, heir to the Borden Dairy Estate, he graduated from high school a millionaire. And so his parents gave him this trip around the world, and he traveled through Asia and the Middle East and Europe. But it gave him this burden for the world's hurting people. And so he wrote home and he said, I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field. And when he made this decision, he wrote in the back of his Bible two words, no reserves. He turned down high-paying jobs after graduation from Yale University, and he entered two more words in his Bible, no retreats. He completed his studies at Princeton Seminary, and he sailed for China to work with Muslims. And he stopped first at Egypt to get some more preparation. And while he was there, he was stricken with cerebral meningitis and died within a month. And so you may say, a waste, but not in God's plan, because in the Bible, underneath the word no reserves and no retreats, he wrote the word no regrets. Men, let's have that mindset. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. Let's serve God with everything that we have, no reserves. Let's follow the Lord no matter the cost, no retreating. And at the end of our lives, may we say, no regrets. Courageous, godly fathers have an unwavering commitment to the Lord. They have an unwavering commitment to the Lord. The famous violinist Kreisler said, narrow is the road that leads to the life of a violinist. And so hour after hour, day after day, week after week, for years, he says, I lived with my violin. There were so many things that I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places I wanted to go that I had to miss if I had to master the violin. And he says, the road I traveled was a narrow road, and the way was hard. So fathers, the road that you will have to travel to live this way is narrow. It's hard, but it's important. It will be worth it. So it may mean having to give up some time on your hobbies so that you can put more effort into the spiritual health of your family. It may mean some more sacrifice for the Lord or for your family. But think about this. No godly man, when he gets to the end of his life, regrets the spiritual leadership and investment he made for his family and for Christ. When you get to the end of your life, what are you going to regret? You're never going to regret time for Christ. You're never going to regret the spiritual investment you made into your kids or into your wife or the spiritual leadership. You may regret some of the other things, maybe some time on hobbies or some of that, but you will never regret living your life for Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've been doing well, leading your family to serve the Lord. That's great. Praise the Lord. Keep going. Continue doing that. Continue depending on Him and growing in your walk with Him and in your leadership. Or maybe you're a father here today and your children are grown up. They're out of the house. They have now their own families. And you can still have an influence on them. It's going to be different, right? It's going to be different. But you can still be a godly influence in their life. You can also lead your wife in this way. Maybe you're here today and you say, I'm not a father, I'm not even a man, right? Are you thankful for the godly father that you have that led you this way? Or maybe if your father is still around today, maybe you could talk to him. Call him up. Say, thank you. Thank you for having an unwavering commitment to the Lord. Or maybe you're here today and you're thinking, my father wasn't really a godly man. My father wasn't a godly leader in my home. Or maybe my father wasn't even around. Let me tell you, you have a heavenly father who loves you so much, who loves you perfectly, and who leads you perfectly and guides you towards godliness every single day. Thank him for being a good father to you through your whole life. And as I said earlier, this sermon can apply to any believer in many different ways. So you may not be able to say, as for me and my household, but you can say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. Do you have an unwavering commitment to the Lord, no matter what comes your way, no matter what pressure that is on you? Don't give in to the pressure of the world. Stand firm in your commitment to the Lord. We live in a day and age where there are very controversial topics and people are giving in to the pressure. They're changing their beliefs according to the culture. But that is not us, because we have an unwavering, unashamed commitment to the Lord. We will stand for truth. As Joshua 24 continues, the people say, yeah, we'll follow the Lord. And Joshua pretty much reminds them, this can't be made flippantly. This is a serious decision. You're going to need God's help. And so for you too, this decision to serve the Lord shouldn't be made superficially. It shouldn't be made flippantly. You will need to trust him all along the way. You'll need to lean on him every single point of the way. And why do we serve him? Because of what he has done in Christ. We were dead in our sins and without hope in this world, yet God, out of love, sent Jesus Christ to come to this earth. He was humbly came and was born in a manger, and he grew up and he lived the perfect life that we could never live. And his love drove him to go so far as to die a violent death for us in our sins, because our sin deserves God's wrath. But his death atoned for our sins. So now we are forgiven and we stand under no condemnation. He rose again, conquering sin and death, is now seated at the right hand of God, still interceding for us. He has changed our lives. Actually, more than that, he has given us new life, eternal life. That's what he has done for you out of love. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ to be saved? And if so, do you love him? Do you live for him? So this morning, fathers, may you say, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And really, may each and every one of us today in this room say, I will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, following you is not always easy. It's hard. There's a lot of pressure from the world, from other people, to give in different points. It's hard to persevere. So we need your help as we go on and have that unwavering commitment. Let us always be reminded that we need your help. We cannot do it on our own. But may we have that unwavering commitment to you. In Christ's name, amen.